The Abbott government has come to power amid many calls from many quarters for Australia to boost our productivity, for our economy, to make our economy more competitive. After his most recent role as climate advisor to the Labor government, Professor Ross Garnaut, an economist, has turned his mind to that challenge. He says we've lived through our salad days, thanks to the mining investment boom, but warns we now face the dog days, and that's the name of his new book, which we launched in Canberra today by Malcolm Turnbull, Minister for Communications. Well, Professor Ross Garnaut joined me in the breakfast studio yesterday.
I think we've got a big challenge ahead. I first used the expressions salad days to describe the early days of the China boom, 2003, 4, 5, when we suddenly received a big increase in our incomes and we just spent most of it as we received it. And I warned then that these were the salad days, but they would be followed by the dog days when people's expectations about rising incomes couldn't be met. And that's what we've got to deal with now. Whether it's a substantial adjustment, but one that leaves most Australians in jobs and leaves in place most of the increases in living standards we've had in the last 22 years, or whether it's much worse than that, depends on how we handle it. And my objective in writing the book is to ask Australians to think about the choice. So we make the adjustment, we make it in a timely way, and we do accept some reduction in the standard of living, but a modest one without big unemployment and without a big fracture in our society.
Well, let's go to that, because the choices, as you lay out, are really a choice between policy making that's business as usual or policy making in what you call the public interest. And that's the thesis of the book. Political leadership, it's well understood, was critical to the big economic reforms of the 1980s, the floating of the dollar, the tearing down of the tariff wall. Tony Abbott has come to government now, very cautious about IR reform in particular, big economic reform too, at least in this first term. What would you like to see him tackle, and where do you want to see him head in terms of policy making?
Well, the first thing we have to do as a society, and it's important that this be led by government, is face up to the seriousness of our situation. We have been living beyond our means, or beyond our continuing means, our long-term means, for quite a long while now. The seeds of the problem were set in the first period of the boom, 2003 to 2008, when we spent all that money, tax cuts, increases in government expenditure, rising executive remuneration, wages, public services, as if those increases in income were going to be permanent. Then that was kept going for a bit longer by an investment boom that had to come to an end. We're going to have, for a number of years, increased growth in exports of resources, but that won't give the same boost to the economy and incomes as especially the first phase of high export prices. So the first thing is it's important that Australians realise that we face a hard situation, one that requires a comprehensive approach. And in the book, I lay out adjustments in many areas that are going to be necessary if we're going to make this adjustment with reasonably high employment and a minimal reduction in our standard of living. It's not a single thing. We've got a lot of budget repair to do over a lot of years, and realistically we've got to raise more taxation as a share of the total economy because it will not be practical to reduce government expenditure enough to bring things back into balance. So through all of those mechanisms, we're already having to accept a big slowdown in growth in standards of living, and we can't all get what political leaders from both sides have been leading us to expect.
And those are tough political things to introduce, the list of things you've outlined there. You're not the only high-profile Australian to identify productivity, of course, as an issue. This week, Morris Newman too, the new chairman of the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council, described Australia in a speech he gave as a high-cost, over-regulated economy. And he said it's a negative for Australia that our minimum wage is $33,000, whereas in Canada it's $22,000, in the US it's $15,000. Is a high minimum wage, talking about shared sacrifice, is a high minimum wage something to be proud of or ashamed of?
Well, first of all, the central problem is that our cost level is very high in international currency compared with the rest of the world. There's been a big increase in the real exchange rate since the China boom began, and that raised all Australian costs in international currency. Minimum wages, executive remuneration, quite extraordinary executive remuneration in Australia compared with comparable economies and the increases that there's been in the last dozen years. The minimum wages, I do talk about that in the book, the downward adjustment in minimum wages would be helpful, but that's only practical and it's only sensible in our democratic polity if that's in the context of other reforms, social security reforms that maintain incentives for employment, maintain as much as possible household incomes. If you see the necessary reforms mainly in terms of low-income and vulnerable Australians pulling in their belts while the rest of the society gets additional benefits and tax cuts, then you're whistling in the dark. I know that's a business wish, but it's not going to happen like that. The only times we've ever, as a society, been able to make the sort of adjustment we're going to have to make in the next few years has been when there's been widespread acceptance of shared sacrifice. And that's what was missing from Mr. Newman's commentary. He wanted to put all of the adjustment burden on vulnerable Australians when that's neither economically rational nor politically feasible.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Professor Ross Garnaut, talking about his new book called Dog Days, Australia After the Boom. Ross Garnaut, you're referencing there a new ethos which you say has developed, that there can be no losers from reform. And you're very critical in a part of the book of the unconstrained private pressure on the policy-making process. Is the mining tax and the campaign against it, is that an example of that?
Yes, I think it is. I'm quite clear in the book that there were mistakes in policy making made with the mining tax. A completely new form of tax was dumped on the community with a statement that it was going to be implemented without the sort of discussion that's necessary for understanding to develop. My own view is that the form of tax selected by the Henry Review wasn't the practical one for Australia. So there were faults on the government side, but what should have happened is a lengthy discussion in which various parties contribute from their own perspectives, and then in the end government takes a decision in the national interest.
So what was different this time? As you say, what should have happened is a lengthy debate between the political sides putting their positions. Isn't it appropriate for one of the key stakeholders to have their say? So what's different here that you're so critical of?
I think the attitude of interest groups to national policy is different from that in the 80s. There are fewer restraints on naked pursuit of self-interest in today's Australia, in the 21st century Australia, than there were in the reform era. In the reform era, the Business Council of Australia, for example, accepted that if it wanted to secure its own interests in reforms that would improve economic efficiency, that would take deadweight costs from business, it had to accept that parts of the package would be ways of improving economic efficiency and improving economic growth that actually took away some distortions that favoured business. But you don't get any of that acceptance today. Today, the business lobbies tend to put a megaphone in front of squeaky wheels and magnify the noise rather than put weight on interests that are seeking sectoral advantage at the cost of the national interest.
Ross Garnaut, there's plenty of noise around the notion of a price on carbon steel. From 2007, you were one of the key architects of emissions trading, putting a price on carbon pollution. But 2 years later, it all fell apart, and you described all that as one of the worst examples of policy making we've seen on major issues in Australia. How would you describe what we've got now in terms of this debate?
We'd recovered from that, and what was legislated in 2011 is a package that will allow Australia to do its fair share of the international effort, no more than its fair share, at reasonable cost, and allow it to do more over time as international effort ramps up. There are some institutional arrangements as part of that package that will take some of the short-term politics out of the policy process, the role of the Climate Authority, which mirrors the British Climate Committee.
But this is
committee.
All being disbanded. This is all being unwound.
Well, let's see. It's proposed by the government that it be unwound, but if our focus is on Australia meeting the big challenge ahead, on Australia doing things more efficiently, doing what it has to do at minimum cost, then you'd be very careful about unwinding the current arrangements. The alternatives, amongst other things, will end up costing a great deal.
Just back to your book, Dog Days, and the notion of Australia after the boom, and what we're staring at. And you've talked about, you know, the need for all of us to share the pain, and there's some tough decisions to be made as we try and lift productivity in particular. Are you optimistic that Australia will make the changes necessary, particularly in terms of policy making, that we'll move away from business as usual to public interest policy making, and that we have the political leadership and the political climate to achieve that?
Well, what gives me some hope is that we've done it before. We did it in the reform era, 83 to the end of the century. And before that, you wouldn't have said there was a strong basis in Australia for the sort of concerted and effective focus on reform that we ended up having from 1983 onwards. So that's what gives us hope. I don't think it's going to be easy. I do think there's going to have to be a big change in mindset. There has to be a change in our political culture, and that's going to be the really hard thing. When the Australian community focuses on the alternatives and how much worse things will be if we don't make this adjustment, then I hope that things that look impossible now will start to look better than the alternatives.
Just need someone to start selling that message. Ross Garnaut, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Good to be with you, Fran.
That's economist Professor Ross Garnaut, and his new book is called Dog Days, Australia After the Boom. It'll be launched today by the Minister for Communications, Malcolm Turnbull.